craft warning. Up for coastal waters, the high is about 60, the low's in the mid-40s. On the island, 51, in the valley, 54. It's 55 degrees at CKVN. This is David Palmer.
Station CKVN Vancouver, operating on an assigned carrier frequency of 1410 kilocycles with a power output of 50,000 watts, will now suspend all regular programming. And now, our general manager and vice president, Mr. Ron Carabine.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the next few minutes, we will present a program of interest to you, the people of British Columbia, and more specifically, the city of Vancouver. The program will allow you a glimpse of the history of Radio 1410, and more importantly, where we intend to go, what we intend to do to serve you. We are not simply a mammoth radio station, blaring out at you with an endless stream of promotional gimmickry, uttering meaningless phrases at faceless people. We are a breathing, living, working vehicle of unity and communication. Our staff is energetic, enthusiastic. We are concerned. We care about the people, the places of Vancouver. Radio 1410 belongs to British Columbia. Three of the five members of our board of directors are from Greater Vancouver. We do not emulate Los Angeles or forecast from New York. Our concerns are not with Montreal, Toronto, or Edmonton. We are Vancouver, BC, and proud of it. We have exercised thoughtful concern in devising a plan to develop a more creative communication medium. Now we will tell our story the way it was, the way it will be, for Radio 1410.
The year is 1922. A new radio station is born to Vancouver, British Columbia. Its name, CFCQ. The station operates at 450 kilocycles with all the power of a modern-day light bulb, 40 watts. But on the air, it was almost immediately making its presence known. In 1923, it was CFCQ that was broadcasting the news of Dr. Banting picking up the Nobel Peace Prize for the discovery of insulin, while Foster Hewitt nearly suffocates broadcasting a hockey game from a phone booth in the penalty box. In 1925, while Stalin is gaining control of the Soviet Politburo, here at home, the conservatives are slipping into more seats, but King still keeps power. It's 1925, and CFCQ moves up on the radio dial and boasts a power increase to 50 watts. 1928. In Russia, Stalin is on the move with a new five-year industrialization plan to enrich the red economy. And while dirigible Graf Zeppelin watchers are hoping their bubble won't burst, Canada's Percy Williams is polishing up for the Olympic track events. 1928. And CFCQ listeners are now hearing all of the news on CKMO as the station takes on a new name. The year is 1932. CKMO, ever vigilant in keeping Vancouver up to date on the events of the day, doubles its power, now adding many new listeners to its ever-increasing list. But not all the news that CKMO is reporting could be good. 1932 was the year that Charles Lindbergh Jr. was kidnapped and killed. Here at home, however, some things did look better as Clancy and the Kid Line sparked the Maple Leafs to their first Stanley Cup. It was now 1933, and CKMO finally makes the move to what will prove to be a winning frequency as their new position on the dial moves them from 730 to 1410. The year is 1941. CKMO reports the German attack on Russia, the Atlantic Charter set up by Roosevelt and Churchill, and the attack on Pearl Harbor. 1946 finds the world in a happier frame of mind. CKMO jumps its power 10 times, now covering all of Vancouver with its 1,000 watts. 1948. The world was still in the middle of putting itself together as the news breaks on CKMO that the Free State of Israel was proclaimed in Tel Aviv and Czechoslovakia was joining the communist bloc. In sports, it's flapjacks on Yonge Street as Calgary wins the Grey Cup. The year was now 1952, and as CKMO celebrates its 30th birthday, the nation's first television station makes the scene in Montreal.
What you doing, Ann?
Hello there, Amos. Just checking my bank account here. 6 million, 8 million, 12 million. Check and double check.
1955, a historic year for radio.
Giant radio for Canadian West.
CKMO listeners find CKMO adopting the new call letters CFUM.
Hello, hello. It's a wonderful day. And here to make it brighter is C-Fun. We'll be bringing you all that's new with wonderful music just for you. We know you'll stay through this wonderful day.
With the new image and style comes a new fame, C-Fun, and the people of British Columbia love it. 1955, best remembered by some for the releasing of the Salk vaccine for use in the treatment of polio and for the U.S. Supreme Court ruling ordering the controversial integration of all public schools. In 1956, as the world began taking on a new face, C-Fun fans became more aware of a new kind of music. They called it, of all things, rock and roll. That was the year that parents across North America began blaming Elvis Presley and his new lewd, loud, and raucous music for everything from juvenile delinquency to jaywalking.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
But the fans kept coming, picking up his platters at the rate of 50,000 a day. 1956 saw the Ringling Brothers fold their tents. Rocky Marciano retire from the ring. Don Larson pitch a perfect game. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis split, and Grace Kelly become Princess of Monaco. In 1956, C-Fun movie fans were making the scene at the Passion Pit to occasionally watch the year's most groovy movie, The Ten Commandments. In 1957, we were all real hep cats as C-Fun fans continued to snap their fingers to doo-wop and a sound called pop.
Well, it's time for baby walking.
In 1957, the year it was see you later, alligator. If you didn't have an Ivy League buckle on the back of your black chinos, and if your pants weren't pegged, you were really square.
See you later, alligator.
The C-Fun DJs were anything but square. Keeping Vancouver's collective toe tapping was a lineup that was second to none, with morning man Monty McFarlane kicking off the day, followed by Peter Jackson, better known to many as PJ the DJ, and then Jack Cullen with Cullen's Caravan, and Dave McCormick wrapping up the rest of the day and night. It was 1957, the year Fidel Castro came into Cuba for more than cigars, and foreign cars began their drive on Detroit, when Chryslers had fins you could dry your bathing suit on, and Ford was ready to make a fortune with its newfangled Edsel. And as we whistled along with Bridge Over the River Kwai, our tune changed to tragedy with the second collapsing of the Narrows Bridge. 1957, the year that was reeling and rocking with Chuck Berry and Elvis the Pelvis, kept the rest of the world all shook up, to say the least.
I'm all shook up.
1957, the year that the white sports coat took on the black leather jacket, and Pat Boone wasn't the first guy you'd call if you got into a rumble, and the Liberal Party's 22-year reign comes to an end as the Conservatives, led by John Diefenbaker, sweep into power.
I'm looking forward to Germany.
The year is 1958, and C-Fun listeners are clinging to their handkerchiefs, bidding farewell to their fallen hero as Elvis is inducted into the Army.
Do you feel that rock and roll, the popularity of rock and roll, will diminish in any way while you're in the Army?
That's hard to tell. The only thing I can say is I hope not.
1958. The year Mr. Clean came on the scene. Fashionable women hopped into the sack dress when every basement had to boast a fallout shelter and kooky cop top comb honors.
Baby, you're the kinchiest.
1958, when...
Like, no sweat, man.
...was the standard reply to your study and...
Hey, lay off, will ya?
...was the reply to all of those losers who missed out. The year that colors were turned up and cuts turned down, when standard procedures for splitting the scene consisted of a dose of see you later, alligator, followed by a chorus of after a while, crocodile. 1958, the year of transistor radios and true love, when beer bottles became stubby, the giant quiz show scandal broke loose, millions of irate fans added a new category to the $64,000 question, and the U.S. launched its first satellite, Explorer 1.
So long, folks, this is Ozzy saying goodnight for the four Nelsons and the 57 variety.
1958, and everybody's television favorite, Ozzy and Harriet's little boy, Ricky, sings his heart out at the high school hop.
A bee-ba, baby, a bee-ba, baby, a bee-ba, baby, she's a gal for me.
It's the era of the platters and the teddy bears, the chipmunks, the playmates, the Olympics, Conway Twitty, Little Anthony, the Everly Brothers, the Coasters, Buddy Holly, and of course, who could forget the forerunners to Hootenanny, the Kingston Trio.
Hang down your head, Tom, Julie, hang down your head and cry.
But for C-Fun, all the success enjoyed was just a simple case of Coasters' Poison Ivy, compared to what was to catch on in 1959.
We've got fun again on 1410. It's the biggest sound of 4 miles around. Giant of the West beats the rest, sounds the best.
The station kicked off the year with a power boost from 1,000 to 10,000 watts. And an evening DJ named Jack Cullen began boosting C-Fun listenership, boasting a membership of 3,000 with his highly successful show, The Hi-Fi Club.
The C-Fun sound for DJs.
Hi, everybody. This is Farron Young of Capitol Records, and we're up here stomping with Big Daddy Dave McCormick. Stomp a little with us, won't you?
In late 59, C-Fun was becoming synonymous in Vancouver with Dave McCormick, C-Fun's afternoon personality, taking the reins of the Hi-Fi Club, skyrocketing its membership to an unheard of 50,000. 1959, the year that the Battle of New Orleans fought its way to the number one position of the year.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans.
1959, the year that Mr. Blue was not the guy with the pink shoelaces. Donna left, and Paul Anka became anything but a lonely boy. As you put your head on his shoulder and your best friend wondered about the lipstick on his collar.
On your collar. On you. Yeah.
1959, when Charlie Brown lit more than 16 candles, and the happy organ met tragedy after falling into the sea of love. 1959, when Michael Anthony handed out millions. Pillow Talk was the picture to see. Mack the Knight made it as best record of the year, and Lady Chatterley's Lover was doing more than the cha-cha. 1959, the beginning of the D's Tunnel, Bonanza, Bikinis, and who could forget the slogan, Everything's Better with Blue Bonnet on it. 1959, quite a year, but with 1960 just around the corner, you really ain't heard nothing yet.
CFUN, Channel 14, you ain't heard nothing yet.
July 1st, 1960. Rock and roll is obviously here to stay as C-Fun unveils to British Columbia a new kind of C-Fun excitement. We call it Hit Parade.
It's a hit! All the way! They're going wild!
The winner on C-Fun Sound Parade scoreboard, record number one on the Fantastic 50!
While millions snapped their fingers to the innocent beat of Paul Anka, Bobby Rydell, Brian Hyland, and Frankie Avalon, John Kennedy was winning a close victory over Richard Nixon, making Kennedy the youngest president ever in U.S. history.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Meanwhile, on the Hollywood scene, Desi and Lucy were splitting, and the apartment was rapidly becoming the motion picture to see. In hockey, Bernie Boom Boom Jeffrion ties Rocket Richard's record of 50 goals in one season. But Vancouver was caught up in another kind of excitement as C-Fun began putting together a staff that proved unbeatable.
We've got fun again on 1410. It's the biggest sound of 4 miles around. sound 4 miles around. Giant of the West
beats the rest. Sounds the best.
1960-bound Al Jordan, Brian Lord, Ken Chang, and Brian Force all together. In months to follow, the new C-Fun format would ultimately enjoy such widespread success that it would eventually prompt a competitive station to resort to the slogan, "The men with the music, not the boys with the noise."
The C-Fun sound,
1960, the year that Route 66 was the one to travel, and the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, returned home from the Army. The year the U-2 incident made the Cold War almost too hot to handle. In Vancouver and across North America, we were lowering cars with blocks, removing the chrome, and calling them nosed and decked. It made any machine look really groovy. 1960, the year Princess Margaret marries. The Ottawa Rough Riders ended all Edmonton hopes, beating them 16-6 to win the Grey Cup. In Montreal, the Canadiens won the Stanley Cup for the sixth year in a row, and the World Figure Skating Championships were held here in Vancouver.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to C-Fun. Happy birthday to you.
1961. A year that meant crew cuts for guys and bouffants for girls. While in baseball, Roger Maris breaks Babe Ruth's home run record, hitting 61 homers in a single season.
I am Fujikami, the warrior!
A record made by the C-Fun DJs made its way right to the Funtastic 50. By this time, the station had a new all-night man, Jerry Landa, and still most of its original jock staff. But 61 had its share of tensions as East Germany closed the border between East and West Berlin. At the theaters, West Side Story was winning the hearts of Vancouverites. While on the ever-popular Tube, Ben Casey and Walt Disney were working their way up through the ranks. 1961, the year of button-down shirts and Bob Newhart, and U Thant being elected to the United Nations. In 1962, C-Fun was approaching what would be its mid-60s peak.
Now it's time for all the men to come to the aid of Bootsy!
C-Fun, rapidly becoming a legend in its own time, in B.C. and throughout parts of the country, continued to add to its already highly popular staff, as the name Red Robinson was added to the list.
Red Robinson, C-Fun 141.
The station was breathing fire with a nightly non-stop hour of nostalgia, billed the Hour of Flashbacks.
From the fires of the front of the front,
David is another C-Fun. Flashback. Yeah! Dustbin, Daddy!
1962. Fashionable heads wouldn't be caught dead without a Jackie Kennedy pillbox hat, and Jack Parr's favorite phrase, "I kid you not," was the in thing to say. 1962. When all of Vancouver listened enthusiastically for the news that Ernie Richardson had won the men's curling championship in Scotland and that Canada's first space vehicle was launched. The year that marked the completion of the Trans-Canada Highway and the opening of the Seattle World's Fair. 1962. Obviously now more sophisticated musically, having already given way to such 61 dance classics as the Bristol Stomp and the Pony. The year came on strong with the cream of the crop. We called it Wax, and the new dances to do were the Watusi, the Locomotion, the Mashed Potato, and of course, the dance you could even learn on television, the Twist.
You got a new dance and it go like this.
Peppermint twist. 1962, when Anne Bancroft's Miracle Worker took the Oscar and the Liz Taylor-Richard Burton romance was blazing a trail through North American movie magazines, setting the stage for a box office bonanza with their movie, Cleopatra. The year that the bear of the boxing world, Sonny Liston, knocked out Floyd Patterson in the first round of their title bout. Sex in the Single Girl was something new, at least in book form, and the world was finally fully into the grips of the space age. 1963 was the year of an innovation known as the Kremlin Hotline, when we were laughing at elephant jokes, watching Hootenanny, driving 55 Chevys adorned with white walls and baby moons, and women were trying their best not to break a leg on their spike heels.
Coca-Cola brings you Saturday's Hi-Fi Club live with C-Fun's Big Daddy Dave McCormick and Playland the Peony. Special feature, a Coke and a hot dog, 10 cents. Get out there and have a ball with the rides and games at the world's greatest outdoor fun place, Playland at the Peony. 3:30 Saturday, see Big Daddy Dave McCormick with the Hi-Fi Club live on the world's most funnest radio station.
And C-Fun was there, whatever it was and wherever it was. Listeners in 63 anxiously awaited the outcome of the BC Lions Hamilton Tiger Cats Grey Cup game. But much to the disappointment of enthusiastic C-Fun fans, the Lions lost. 63, and the airwaves are alive again with still another new Vancouver feature. Listeners are invited to call in and vote for one of three new songs featured every evening. We called it the Battle of the New Sounds. And in 1963, songs like Louie Louie, Hey Paula, Sugar Shack, It's My Party, and of course, Timey Kangaroo Down were keeping the fun line red hot.
Let's see now. Put record on turntable. And turn our switch.
Hey, you guys. What is fun do? I'm listening to a C-Fun 20 a week.
But 63 was also a year marred by tragedy. In England, 1963 meant the great train robbery and the Christine Keeler scandal. And south of the border, 63 was a year of sorrow.
President Kennedy has been assassinated. It's official now. The president is dead.
Those who listened to C-Fun that fateful day will never forget where they were, what they were doing, as they learned of the senseless assassination of U.S. President John F. Kennedy.
Whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States of America to be affixed.
2 days later, nightclub hustler Jack Ruby shoots and kills accused assassin Lee Harvey Oswald in a Dallas, Texas police station. Millions saw it on television.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on, it's a fire.
1964, C-Fun was cooling it with the mid-60s surfing sound as groups like the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean were making it big. And listeners were ecstatic over yet another new addition to the C-Fun lineup, a nightman named Fred Latremoe. It was early 64, and Fred, the disc jockey who rapidly became one of C-Fun's most popular, was hosting both the Battle of the New Sounds and the Hour of Flashback.
Holding the treasure chest of former great sounds, here's a sparkling gem still nice to have around. A memory of music, a hit from the past, a C-Fun Flashback.
By this time, the Kitt Showboat had also become almost an institution in Vancouver, with crowds numbering in the 30,000s turning out every summer for C-Fun's super yearly event. As far back as 1962, C-Fun even had their own recording group, the C-Fun Classics. But in 64, something even bigger was in store, as C-Fun brings British Columbia the Beatles. The year that 007 got into the picture. Girls were letting their hair down for new reasons with topless bathing suits on the scene. Cassius Clay knocked out Sonny Liston. The Maple Leafs made off with the Stanley Cup. And for fashion-conscious girls everywhere, the miniskirt becomes a must.
This is C-Fun, Vancouver's most happy radio.
1965. The biggest power failure of the decade hits North America, blocking out some 30 million people. 9 months later, an unusual but brief jump in the birth rate is noted. In 1965, C-Fun broadcasts to anxious listeners news of election results returning Lester Pearson's Liberal government to power. 65 was the year of make love, not war, paper dresses, and the slogan, put a tiger in your tank. And who could forget that all-important 65 innovation, Go-Go Girls? By 1966, the Vietnam War had begun to escalate. An unmanned spacecraft made a soft landing on the moon, and in Ottawa, charges of scandal break out in Canadian government circles over the Gerda Munsinger affair. The TV screen in 66 was reflecting Mission Impossible, Bill Cosby, and Batman as the new boob cube biggies. In the 66 World Series, Baltimore beat the Dodgers, while the fashion world spotlighted a girl named Twiggy and echoed the cry that Thin was in, as men around the world wondered why. 1966, the year that C-Fun's number two ranked song hit very close to home. It was a mama's and papa's hit tagged California Dreamin'.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray.
Simon and Garfunkel made it happen with the Sounds of Silence, and the Rolling Stones were very much here to stay. But the biggest news in music was still, of course, the Beatles. In 1967, Vancouver had its own campaign. It came in the form of the Mr. C-Fun Lonely Hearts Club Band, and thousands rallied to become members. The fashion fad for men in 67 was Nehru jackets, and the women of the world went to the Micro Mini. 1967, the year of Expo, Ralph Nader, successful heart transplants, Timothy Leary, and the phrase tune in, turn on, and drop out. Long hair for men was beginning its climb, and the flower children were blossoming out of nowhere. 1967, the year we saluted Canada's centennial year with Expo 67 and saw a resurgence of W.C. Fields.
My little chickadee!
The year that Bobby Gentry made a name and a fortune singing about a nowhere bridge. And the Rascals' Groovin' obviously summed up the feelings of the time, picking up top song of the year honors. The year that summers south of the border began becoming long and hot, and a young man's fancy turned to older women, as Dustin Hoffman made a name for himself in the motion picture The Graduate. 1968 is a year of major changes for C-Fun. Under new management, the station assumes a programming stance which ultimately will prove ineffective. Plans are finalized to present live variety shows, amateur hours, and an approach known as wall-to-wall music. But as unsuccessful as the new programming position is to become, the lesson learned throughout the next 2 years will be a most valuable one. 68 also had other very far-reaching and positive aspects for C-Fun, as the station power is up from 10,000 watts to the legal limit of 50,000 watts. 1968, the year of the Pueblo incident, and Richard Nixon beating Hubert Humphrey for the U.S. presidency, the year that Nancy Green won the gold medal at Grenoble, and two tragedies will take place to mar the memories of all mankind.
Senator Robert Francis Kennedy died at 1:44 a.m. today, June 6, 1968.
Who could forget 1968, with TV's Laugh-In permanently implanting the profound line, "Sock it to me, and here comes the judge," in our mind.
Sock it to me,
the year that Jackie Kennedy and Aristotle Onassis tied the knot, and the world speculated as to why.
Here comes the judge! Here comes the judge! Order in the courtroom! Here comes the judge!
1968, when the country cast aside tradition for a new image and fell under the spell of Trudomania. A year that will be remembered musically for songs like The Wait, MacArthur Park, and of course, Cream's White Room.
In a white room with black curtains.
In 1969, while Vancouver's own Susan Jackson, the Poppy Family, are rising to the top of North American charts with their hit, Which Way You Going, Billy, C-Fun is taking another dramatic step, a change of name. The new call letters become CKVN, and with them, the wall-to-wall music gives way to the Voice of News.
141, CKVN.
1969, Man on the Moon. And in 1969, in a little town in upstate New York, thousands flocked for an event simply known as Woodstock. But while the Peace Generation is making CKVN news, so are the New York Mets, pulling the upset of the century in the 69 World Series. Here in Canada, the Montreal Expos enter pro baseball, and Vancouverites, stunned to learn the UBC engineering students kidnapped the 9 o'clock gun from Stanley Park, are very ready for 1970. 1970, the year of Japan's Expo, and what seemed an ever-present looming threat, especially to Easterners, the FLQ crisis.
Well, I don't think that we will have to hide that Monsieur Pierre Lafitte blood is on the floor of the garage on Armstrong Street.
1970, the year of NHL expansion, the Vancouver Canucks, hard hats, and the beginning of women's lib. 1970, the year that the Beatles split, but most of the crying was for Love Story. And while cigarette commercials were being taken off the air, Flip Geraldine Wilson was just beginning with his favorite line, "The Devil Made Me Do It." And for hockey fans, 1970 had its happy moments when the NHL expanded to include the Vancouver Canucks. 1970, a year that ranged from the mellow sadness of James Taylor's Fire and Rain to the happy enthusiasm of Anne Marie's Snowbird.
Beneath this snowy mantle, golden dreams, the unborn grass lies waiting for its gold to turn to green.
1970, rock returns to CKVM, and for the first time under the banner of its new call letters, the station begins once again to experience a sample of the audience response that it had previously enjoyed. 1971 hits, and hot pants are everywhere. They're even considered fashionable, and while The French Connection is making it as the best motion picture, Future Shock is the book to read. Britain is shocked by the collapse of Rolls-Royce. The Pentagon Papers are again spreading scandal throughout the U.S., and one spring morning, Canada awakes to the news that the Prime Minister has a new wife. 9 months later, he becomes a father.
It's one of the few occasions when the Prime Minister has accepted my advice. Took quite a long while to carry it out, but certainly happy that he saw fit, indeed, to do something that his cabinet didn't even know about.
1971, when Joy to the World was the number one song. Brown Sugar was brewing up more controversy for the Stones, and Murray Head Superstar was finally getting a foothold. And in 1971, even those who were normally unaffected by TV had to tune in for a taste of the truth from Archie Bunker's All in the Family.
Well, I mean, God is white, ain't he? What makes you think God isn't black? Well, because I was made in God's image, and you'll note that I ain't black. Well, don't complain to me about
it. It's 1971, and as the dramatics put it, in 1972, new forms of interest were taking shape. The world watches with interest as temperamental Bobby Fischer beats Boris Spassky for the World Chess Championship. The Olympic Games are marred by tragedy, and the Canadian hockey team claims world hockey supremacy by beating the Russians in an 8-game series. 1972, when following a third-rate burglary, Nixon knocks over McGovern in a landslide election. Little does he know of the troubles ahead. The phrase that catches almost everyone's fancy is, "Try it, you'll like it." And again, Nixon must have heard as he heads out to talk with both Red China and the Soviet Union.
Baby, don't get on me.
It's 1972, and CKVM, programming for a discerning contemporary audience, features music by Don McLean, Roberta Flack, Neil Young, America, and Mac Davis. 1973, the year NDP pawns hold the Liberal King in check, leaving the Conservatives' no-confidence motions faltering as they back Trudeau's New Year laws. The undefeated Miami Dolphins tackle a chance at football immortality by bringing down the Washington Redskins and carrying off the Super Bowl. 1973 sees the death of Lyndon Johnson and the official end of the Vietnam War. 1973, in the U.S., POWs are back and wondering what happened as the country wallows in Watergate. 1973, the year that Karen Magnuson again skated Canada to world fame and Roberta Flack takes top Grammy honors with "The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face." 1973, a year of defeat and a year of triumph, a year of sorrow and joy. But from our 52-year history, that can only hint as to what is to come. 1973 will serve as the true beginning for the people of British Columbia. September 30th, 1973. We will now officially change the call letters of CKVN and restore CFON to the city of Vancouver and the province of British Columbia. Ladies and gentlemen, CFON is back.
We'll now make a major programming announcement. CFON is being turned over to you. CFON is now your radio station.
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 Unlike any other station that we know of, CFON will be programmed by you.
A special telephone number has been installed for your personal use. We are asking you to help us decide on the music we play, the commercials we air, the campaigns and promotions we involve ourselves in. CFON is truly your radio station.
Programming suggestions to us or use our special online phone number. Please make note of this number. 736-2345. 736-2345. Your programming advice is needed. Only you can outline your own particular requirements and needs of a radio station. Whether it be more music from the Allman Brothers, an irritating commercial that you don't feel deserves airplay, helping to further the cause of your favorite charities, or an involvement in programs which will deal with all aspects of public affairs, including education, religion, politics, community events, social problems, any subject that is of importance to you. CFON will ultimately reflect your social consciousness, ideas, interests, and needs. This is your CFON. In addition, we want you to actually benefit personally from your CFON. Therefore, we are asking you to tell us exactly what you want. What you request is what we'll give away. As unbelievable as it may sound, it's true. We are here for you. Beginning now, the prizes that you ask for, we will give away. CFON is waiting for you to decide. It's simple. From now on, you will determine what we give away. You ask, and we will respond. It's as simple as that. It may take a while to fully realize and investigate all of the possibilities that CFON is offering, but we think Vancouver has been ready for CFON for a long time. CFON is prepared to begin the journey, transcending all previous levels and forms of consciousness. For you, it may be a trip from dreams to reality. But for us, back to begin all over again. CFON, projecting new visions, versions, and levels of awareness, and determined to move mankind just one step closer to caring. If your past was punctuated by fleeting thoughts of something better, you were right. Whatever your aspirations, we mean to help you realize them. CFON will now launch into a lifetime charter course, providing you with opportunities that previously may have exceeded even your wildest dreams.
Oh,